Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Good Life. Food, wine, and all the good things of life. Now, here's the host of The Good Life, Guy Bauer.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the program. I hope you had a great week and you're ready to enjoy some beautiful weather. I just came back from the Northeast, spent several days at a very fancy wine event in Harrisburg, PA. Got to do a little family history digging and walking around graveyards. I don't recommend it, but it was quite interesting. Then I got to go up to the Finger Lakes in New York, and I got home last night later than I wanted to. I had hoped, tried to change my reservation to get home early enough to help my wife. She's the baker in the family because she measures really well, to bake some bread. It didn't happen, but today we're going to tell you how. No, we're going to tell you got to buy this book to learn how to make living bread. The book is called Living Bread, Tradition and Innovation in Artisan Bread Making. My guest is Daniel Leader. Dan studied philosophy at the University of Wisconsin, went on to the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, worked in some fancy restaurants, and then decided he wanted to bake bread. And if you know anything about cooking, this is such a significant change from just working in a kitchen or baking pies. Baking bread is an art. Better yet, he then opened probably one of the coolest bread stores in all of our country. 1983 in Boyceville, he opened Bread Alone. He's an IACP winner, and this book is the next one of his books to be that. Daniel Leader, welcome to the program.
It is so my pleasure to be here. How are you today?
God, I'd be better, Dan, if I just came out of the market with you and you had some bread that we could eat.
Well, I'll fly over soon. How's that?
You, sir, have been tremendously busy. When I looked at your schedule, and then I saw on Facebook that you were doing at the market today in New York until 1 o'clock, 8 minutes ago, I thought, man, what a trooper. You must be in a phone booth changing clothes from your super baker to radio host.
No, I actually found a quiet spot on 17th Street, and it's like a perfect quiet block to do this interview. So it was meant to be.
Well, I so appreciate you letting me invade your weekend. First off, congratulations. Oh, my God. When I thumb through this book, and I often say this, I so wish someone would come up with scratch and sniff for these pictures. Oh, just it's a gorgeous book. But we got to start, before we talk about the book and why everyone should have a copy, and oh, by the way, folks, we're going to be giving away a copy later in the program, so be ready to do that. Dan, talk about you. I gave you a quick intro there, but transitioning from the CIA and kitchens in New York to bread baking sounds like, oh, I'll just bake bread now. But it's so much more than that. Tell us about your journey.
Well, you know, I, as you said, I was a chef, and I was a chef at a time when French restaurants in New York were primarily French, meaning that I was generally the only American in the kitchen. And at that moment in time, in the late 70s, early 80s, all of these major French restaurants closed for the month of August. And so I was working with people from all over France, and they would say, hey, Dan, why don't you come visit me in my little village, or why don't you come visit me in Paris? And it was through these experiences of visiting my colleagues, and almost everywhere I would go, they would take me to the local boulangerie. And it's kind of like, you know, I say to people, it's kind of like a melody, like you hear some music and it haunts you, like you can't get it out of your system, like you just hear something. But it was like every time I would go to a bakery, I just felt something pulling me in. And I really enjoyed the personalities of bakers and the friendliness and the smells and the simplicity. I mean, I don't want to poo-poo this, but like, the world of luxury foods wasn't for me, Like, I needed to do something simple and basic and something a little bit more universal than working in a fancy restaurant.
Wow. Well, I get it. And having had flour all over my hands to my elbows, not because I'm an avid baker, but because I make a mess every time I do, I just can't imagine. And there's so many things I want to talk about. I got to try and keep this moving and keep it succinct. Talk about when you say artisan bread and we think of that, there's so many different breads. And I think to my experience, Daniel, where you know, I've had bread fresh out of a wood-fired brick oven and turkey and, I mean, out in the middle of nowhere. I've had bread in Paris and I've had bread in England and good bread here in the Midwest. And what is the key ingredient that makes bread so different? Is it water?
No, I mean, listen, good water is important. So I don't want to say it's not water. But when I define artisan bread, I define it as a simple food made from flour or grains, water, salt, generally a good amount of sourdough, maybe a little bit of commercial yeast. Think of it like a fermented food. I mean, like you wouldn't expect to make a good wine or a good beer in 2 hours, okay? And good bread, you know, you're fermenting flour, water, salt, wild yeast for a period of time to develop texture and flavor, and you can't do this without the human touch, like good artisan bread. It's got to have human involvement every step of the way. And generally, these breads are made in some type of hearth oven. They don't have to be wood-fired ovens. As a matter of fact, in there's several bakers I visited in that I wrote about in the book that don't use wood-fired ovens. You look at the bread and you say, there's no way this came out of a commercial oven, but they make all types of amazing ovens for bread bakers now, commercial ovens. So it by no means has to be a wood-fired oven.
Well, I obviously water, as you mentioned, is a key part, but when it comes right down to it, the grains we use, wheat, and you have a section in the book about the changing landscape of wheat.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about wheat and how that plays.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to get not too technical, but I think that wheat and gluten in general is getting a really bad rap right now. And the type when I describe the breads that I make and when I describe the breads that my colleagues make, okay, I want to think of it in a different silo, in the same way that you wouldn't compare your local craft beer to the most commercial mass-produced beer, okay? It's kind of people talk about craft beers in one breath and commercial beers in another, but somehow in this world of baking and gluten, people are lumping everything into the same category. So in my category of artisan bread, number one, you have grain wheat that has been grown sensibly. It could be certified organic. It could be a sensible agriculture. Okay, it is ground by millers that are not over extracting the grain, meaning that there's germ and bran left in the flour. Okay, and it's made by a baker who is not adding wheat gluten or additives or any type of fats or any dough conditioners. So that when we talk about artisan bread, when we talk about the flour that we're using, we're talking about a very simple food. But I do have this chapter in the book about the changing wheat landscapes. And, you know, one of the headlines that we read now around the country is that, you know, places that had been growing wheat are now growing some wheat again, and that you have there are some small mills beginning to grind this local grain, and you certainly have bakers baking with it. So, I'd like to make this analogy that, you know, I remember when Whole Foods started in 1983. Like, no one ever would have told me that in 2019 Whole Foods would be one of the major food movements in the world. And I think that 10 or 15 years from now, we're going to see a much more complex wheat landscape than just grains being grown in the Midwest, ground by big mills, and flour shipped around the country.
Hmm. Is that, are we leaning then towards, you know, like terroir in wheat for bread, where not unlike wine, single vineyard wheat is something like that?
Well, you know, in the chapter of the book, I actually picked a region in Sicily where you have farmers growing unique varieties of wheat and millers grinding it. And I did it on purpose, not to say this was the best, but I did it hopefully to influence the market and to show that there is interest in having, you know, let's call them you know, if you think about buying a Pinot Noir or Merlot, you're buying a grape grown in a particular place. I do think that we're at the very, very beginning of this. And when I speak to the millers that I work with, they say that the market's not quite ready yet. Like I buy quite a bit of flour from a miller called La Milanaise near Montreal. And he said that whenever he does single variety wheats, bakers are used to a more blended flour right now and not such an idiosyncratic flour. But I do believe that we are moving in that direction, and I think the marketplace is what's going to drive it.
That's so cool. Well, you know, that's non-GMO, no gluten. It only seems fair that those of us who love bread and are able to eat it without any consequence other than a slightly tight belt, you know, I can't wait to see if that happens. Look, Dan, I'm so appreciative that you took time out of your busy day to talk to us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the basics, although this book is, it has some basics, but it is so much more than that. The book we're talking about with my guest, Daniel Leader, is Living Bread, Tradition and Innovation in Artisan Bread Making. After this short break, we'll learn some more. And don't forget, we're going to give away a copy, and I got a great wine of the week. And a surprise guest, Dr. Carrie Lesh from Reno, is going to be joining us to talk about the region where my Spanish Basque Chocolina comes from. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.